Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast series brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. The recent protests by farmers against the farm bills took an ugly turn when it turned violent, killing one protester and injuring several policemen. After months of sustained but peaceful demonstrations, the farmers upstaged the Republic Day celebrations, clashing with the police, destroying barricades, and storming the Red Fort. The protesters, belonging to the neighboring states of Punjab and Haryana, were encamped in the outskirts of Delhi and had planned a tractor rally on January 26th. To tell us more about the ongoing developments, we have with us Mr. Vinod Rai, a distinguished visiting research fellow to ISAS. Mr. Rai has been a senior officer in the Indian Administrative Service and was also the Controller and Auditor General of India. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Rai, today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to see you all and to discuss this very interesting subject.
On January 26th, the peaceful tractor rally, the rally that was supposed to be peaceful, turned violent, and this was a rather unexpected development. And now, of course, there are many theories doing the rounds. There are claims of rogue elements infiltrating into these groups. It has also divided the various farming organizations. So what are your thoughts on these developments? Do you think it has weakened the movement?
Let's start by saying that all sections of society have been very dismayed, have been distressed by what happened. It is, of course, a fact that the farmers have been protesting or conducting sit-in protests for about 65 days. They were on the borders of Delhi. They were a very disciplined lot. They came for 11 meetings. Different farmer unions came for 11 meetings with the central government. But unfortunately, what happened was the farmers continued to be absolutely steadfast in their request, which was repeal the acts and also give the MSP a legal base. The center, I think, was fairly reasonable. They talked to them a great deal and did change their goalposts. The last offer of the central government was that the acts or the bills will be kept in abeyance for about 12 to 18 months, within which talks could continue and they would come to some kind of a conclusion on what was the way forward. Now, what happened in this entire process was that the more mature elements of the movement, or let me call it the sit-in protest, were hoping that something concrete will emerge. And the mature elements were, or rather the genuine farmers, were definitely of the viewpoint that they would like to conduct a march, which means showcase their protest or their strength by, you know, taking their tractors around a route which was mutually agreed in by the with the police. So both the sides were in agreement with what the farmers were very adamant. The police tried to persuade them not to do it on the 26th of January because of formal commitments, and that is a day of national significance. However, the farmers insisted that they wanted to do it on that day itself. So the police said, fine, you know, the formal part of the parade and celebrations finished by about 12 noon. That was the time when they were given permission to move on. But unfortunately, what happened was that there were younger elements which I should say were not so mature, elements who were more militant in their thinking and who felt that the government was unnecessarily taking a rather rigid stand without really understanding the way the talks were progressing. And these elements seemed to have taken over the bulk of the public on the night previous to the Republic Day, that is the 25th night onwards. And unfortunately, these were the elements who started leading the march on the next day, the tractor rally on the next day. And they were the ones who broke the barriers. Because unfortunately, what happens is mob psychology is that once a few people break the norm, others follow suit. And it becomes very exciting for the younger of the lot, more agitated people to start following. And unfortunately, they move to the Red Fort. And I think the administration, the police, showed a lot of maturity, a lot of restraint, because stopping them at that time would have meant using force. Now, using force is certainly not the right thing to do when the mob was so large and was so agitated. So I think the police stepped back, and that's exactly why you have had so many injuries among policemen. The police used only tear gas and absolutely no other force. So now what has happened is, unfortunately, for the administration and for the genuine farmers, the entire protest has got derailed. And what we were hoping for, all of us who were watching this thing closely, were hoping that in some ways a mutually agreeable solution would emerge. I think that has receded into the background. And we are not very clear how the discussion will go forth from here.
You mentioned the flag. Now, the flag also became controversial because there were some protesters who flew the Khalistan flag. And there were also rumors that the tricolor was replaced, but it didn't happen. I mean, video evidence proved that it didn't happen. But what do you think motivated the protesters to take this step of getting onto the Red Fort and planting their flag there?
You see, I mentioned to you that the night previous, 25th night, the entire slogan was Dilli ko fateh karo, which means gain victory over Delhi. Delhi signifies the central government. And their entire agitation was against the central government laws. Now, the best illustration of what the central government stands for is somehow the Red Fort, because the police wasn't allowing them to come towards the New Delhi part of things, the India Gate part of things. So they found the Red Fort to be an easy target. Now, Red Fort has two parts to it. One is the main Red Fort wall. The other is the ramparts of the Red Fort. The ramparts of the Red Fort are used on the Independence Day, where VIPs sit on the rampart. And that's where the flag hoisting is done by the Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister gives a speech. The rest of the public sits below the ramparts, school children and all those things. Now, on the main wall of the Red Fort, the tricolor was flown and is flown. It is flown on the ramparts only at the Independence Day time. So this was an empty flag mast. And that's where they slithered up and put a flag, which was, one flag was what is known as a Nishan, which is the flag, a religious flag, which is flown at all Gurdwaras. Normally it's a yellow color. The other flag that they put up was of the agriculturalists, it's a green flag. That's they put up. And I think the police did well in not immediately trying to pull it down, because that would have led to all kinds of use of force again, which was not. So it was an empty flag mast. And on that flagpole, they put up this religious flag.
The protesters have been belong basically to the states of Punjab and Haryana. How do you think the other states have reacted? We are hearing some news of protests from South, but it hasn't been as loud as that from Haryana and Punjab. Why is there this difference?
You see, we must understand the background of the entire, these three acts which have been promulgated, withdrawing the earlier acts. See, what happened was, let me take 2 minutes to explain to you the background. In the years 1964-65, when India faced huge food shortages, and it was talked that, you know, when PL480 wheat was supplied to India, that it was from port to mouth, ship to mouth, that is, India was existing. That was the time when the Green Revolution was started. That was the time when the Punjab and Haryana farmer really worked very hard. He imbibed the essentials of the Green Revolution, and that was a time when production started going up. Now, three things happened in that. That because of the food shortages, the government promulgated what was known as the Essential Commodities Act to ensure no hoarding takes place. That was a time to ensure that every farmer has an outlet for his produce, a sale. The APMC Act was introduced, where the agriculture marketing committees were, a platform was introduced. And the third thing that was done was the farmers guaranteed a minimum support price. That hugely encouraged farmers of Punjab and Haryana to go in for cultivation of wheat and paddy. Now, Punjab did one more thing, that what they did was that they made power for agriculture free. Now, normally, paddy is cultivated in rain-fed areas where there is sufficient water. But seeing that this was an easy alternative, Punjab farmers went in for huge quantities of wheat and paddy. This spawned an entirely different ecosystem, because then commission agents came in. There are about 30,000 commission agents in Punjab, 12 lakh farmer families. Each commission agent has about 8 to 10 sub-agents, with the result that each sub-agent then looks after 3 or 4 farmer families, which means a large number of people down the line were engaged in this business. And what happened was a lot of thekedars, as they are called, contractors, came in, started looking after cultivation. So as far as the farmer himself or the landowner was concerned, he was not bothered about marketing. He was not about price. He was not bothered about the quality of his produce or the transportation. He got his check, or he got the money. State got its commission. Now, what has happened is it became a very cozy relationship. And the government, which means the Food Corporation of India, procures 1/3 of its food grains from Punjab, whereas Punjab has barely 2% of the agricultural area of the country. Now, these acts, which were acts of a scarcity era, are being withdrawn. So the fear is that the Food Corporation of India, number one, will move away from Punjab and start procuring from other areas. All this ecosystem that I talked about, these people will be left high and dry, number one. Number two, the fear is that the MSP will be withdrawn, whereas the central government has given assurance that the MSP will not be withdrawn. And this Punjab state government levies a tax, a commission of 6%. Their revenue will also decline. Now, this ecosystem was hurting Punjab, will hurt Punjab very severely if these acts are amended, because Punjab did not look beyond just cultivating wheat and paddy. And if I can, in some sense, say we're doing lazy agriculture. They never look for any other avenues. They never look for any other crops. They just continued doing this, and this had no sunset clause. But what has happened is, all because of this, which has not come to the fore, is a huge amount of depletion of groundwater because of free power. Groundwater, which normally is available, should be available from 50 feet to about 70 feet, now has gone down to about 300 feet. And that is going to cause a huge amount of problems in the years to come. So that is why it is Punjab and Haryana more than other states, because they were getting the benefit of the APMC, they were getting the benefit of MSP, and they were getting the benefit of food grain procurement by the Food Corporation of India.
So now I'd like to ask you, what are the political ramifications of these on the BJP? Initially, we saw the Shiromani Akali Dal withdraw from the coalition, and mostly the protests were led by Amrinder Singh and his party. But with the recent protests going chaotic, do you think it will have any further political ramifications?
It had built up politically in the sense that those states which are not governed by the Bharatiya Janata Party were the states who were opposing this. Punjab, which is now Congress in power, Maharashtra, which has alliance, which has no BJP presence in it. They were the two states which were most vehemently opposed to it. Though it doesn't affect West Bengal so much, but the West Bengal government also, present government, is opposing it. Now, they will continue to oppose it because they have to take a stand which is politically opposed to something that the central government has done. And because the Maharashtra government has an alliance which has a Congress also involved in it, they have to, for reasons of showing support to the Punjab government, they have to be showing their opposition to this act. West Bengal also, because West Bengal has been in some ways in alignment with the Maharashtra government, and they look to Sharad Pawar for advice, etc. They have also and will continue to be opposing this act. And in fact, they have all now said that considering all that has happened, the central government should rise up to the occasion and withdraw these acts. Now, for the government to withdraw the act only because two or three states are protesting against it may not be feasible just now, because it will become a precedent in the future. Yes. There have been claims that there has not been enough dialogue about this before the act was introduced. It was, the discussion in parliament was only over a day or 2 days in both the houses. That's true. But the fact that reform acts, reform measures have been in the discussion over the last decade and a half can be hardly denied. In fact, the previous government, which was a Congress-led government, was also discussing this. So, politically, I don't see any change in the stance of the political parties. Those who are opposing will continue to oppose it. And they will oppose it because the central government has enacted this legislation.
And finally, I'd like to ask you about the international attention that these protests have garnered. We've seen Sikh groups from Canada and the UK also supporting them in many different ways. Why do you think this domestic issue has received so much international attention?
Okay, and that's very interesting feature. That's very interesting feature. And we have to look at it from the point of view that it is largely the Sikh brethren who have been protesting, or whose attention has been drawn in maybe Canada, maybe UK, maybe Australia, where they are there in large numbers. Unfortunately, what has happened is the idea or the impression which has been built up is that a large number of large corporates will come into this because this legalizes contract farming, and the farmers will lose their land. Now, why I say that this is an incorrect expression is because no corporate wants to own the land. It's too much of a hassle, if I can call it, to own the land. If they had wanted to own the land, they would have bought lands after negotiating with lots of landowners and tilled that land, but they don't want to. Why take the risk of it all? They would rather do contract and collect the produce. That's number one. Now, these people in UK and in Canada and Australia are largely Punjabis, and many Britons of Punjabi origin say that they have all said it, and they have said it in their parliament also, that it threatens the ownership of the land. They all believe that It was the prosperity that their families gained from agriculture that their grandparents or their parents could support the new generation to move out of the country and go to either Canada or UK or Australia, wherever it was. And hence, if that land is taken away, that attachment that they have to the land, they feel it is being threatened. Whereas I think it is a total misconceived notion, because I don't think in any way the land will be taken away. The other thing is that what has happened is that the diaspora, see, this is an agitation which has started in Punjab, and Punjabis are prevalent in large numbers in Australia, UK, and Canada. And hence you find that it is these elements in the diaspora itself who have been opposing it, because they feel a connect with the farming families of Punjab. Each one has some kind of a connect with the family over here, and they feel that this will may lead to the land being taken away, and they are very close to that land. Then there are some people who feel, you know, they need to agitate over this, because there are some, I mean, even the killing of George Floyd, you know, there were the same certain people in UK who were protesting, and the same people are the ones who have started protesting. I want to illustrate this by an example. It's most unfortunate, in fact, tragic, that one farmer who was driving a tractor rammed his tractor into a barricade and unfortunately died on the spot. There were some rumors that it was a police bullet, but it's been proven that's not a police bullet. He drove very rashly. There is a video footage of it. Now, this young man belonging to Uttarakhand in UP, or Uttarakhand in parts of, or Terai region of UP and Uttarakhand, moved away to Australia about 4 years back. He studied there, he settled there, and got married there. But he still has his, and he came here merely to show support. And in a rash moment, unfortunately drove the tractor into the barricade. Now, this only illustrates the fact that there is this connect. So the diaspora, which has moved away also, have that emotional connect with landowning families back home in India.
Thank you so much, Mr. Rai. This was a very interesting conversation, and we hope to have you again soon.
Thank you. And we are still hoping that all that has happened will soon be put behind us, and the dialogue will continue, and hopefully both the sides, the government on anybody on the farmer side, will reach a conclusion, will be progressive, positive, constructive, and good for everybody going forward. Thank you for reaching out to me. It was lovely to have this conversation with you. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg.